The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just above Alto Forno Restaurant on Cross Street and right across the street from the ever-changing North Shore Mall. As I looked out my window this past week, new change over at the North Shore Mall. Yes, they've brought in more and more and more dirt. That's they're trying to build up that base over there over where the new Lifetime Fitness is going to go. But I now notice that they have punched a hole over where the old Orvis store used to be. So something's going on over there as well. Not quite sure what all of that's going to be. I've seen they've got some, they're working hard on really starting to open up some of those other restaurants down near the promenade section of the mall. So that's exciting. And I tried this week to see if I could get Mark Whiting on our radio show. Didn't hear back from him. Hopefully we'll have him back next week or sometime in the very near future, because he has the inside scoop on what's really going on outside at the North Shore Mall. Anyways, I am here, of course, each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And we've been doing this for almost 8 years here now at the radio station. And it's been a delight to meet so many of you listeners. Many of you have come in to become clients of our office. Some of you have actually just called to ask some questions, which is great. But most of you, if not all of you who've listened to this show, have decided to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. And if you'd like a copy of Planning Pointers landing in your inbox every Friday at 10:30, which is filled with little tidbits of financial advice in a language you can understand, not written by some other source, but it's written by us, all you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on my website, and you'll be able to put in your name, your email address, and you get the newsletter. It's that simple. There's a place there that you can write in some comments. You can put in a question. You can do whatever you want there. Some people do, some people don't. But I promise you this, you will not be hucked by me. You will not get phone calls to say, oh my God, I just signed up for this crazy list. Mark's going to keep sending me stuff. Mark's going to keep calling me. He's going to beg me for an appointment. I promise you, that is not what I'm interested in doing at all. I want you to get my newsletter every Friday, but you can clearly unsubscribe whenever you want. No hard feelings. I won't be sending you nasty emails to say, why'd you unsubscribe from my newsletter? No, that's not going to happen. But if the time is right, when the time is right for you to say, you know, it's been fun for a while or frustrating for a while trying to juggle all of the various issues within my financial life, and now it's time to get serious. I need to put it all together. I need to go to a single source, someone that can look at the big picture for me, give me some guidance on where I need to go, what I have, and how I'll be able to use it in the future. That is the time when you schedule an appointment at Friedman Financial. First meeting is absolutely free. You're never asked to sign anything. No commitment whatsoever. We'll send you some information about who we are. All you got to do is call my office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And I'll tell you something that I've learned over the past 2 or 3 months. It's an interesting phenomenon that I've seen with folks that have contacted our office, some who are listeners to this radio show, some that just know existing clients of ours. There is an enormous, enormous amount of money that people are keeping in bank accounts. I am amazed at, I'm talking millions of dollars that people are keeping in bank accounts because they just don't know what to do. And I find that fascinating. And so when they say, you know, Mark, yeah, maybe it's time for me to move some of this money out. Remember, each of your accounts are protected with FDIC insurance up to $250,000 a piece. So those of you that have $1 million in a check, I mean, not that there's that many people that have that, but if you've got $500,000, still, that's a lot of money. If you've got a lot of money in an account that's over $250,000, still, $250,000 is a lot of money. But if you get it over that, you run the risk if the bank goes out of business or money gets called, you know, you may not be insured. Now, the chances of that are highly, highly remote. Highly remote for that to happen. But there is the risk there. I will also tell you, though, that many people, which the greatest phenomenon is the fact that I see many people with all this money in the bank and they're getting 0.03% on their money. And they had no idea that banks today are offering rates of 0.5%, 1.5%, 2%, and some of the online resources up to 2.5% to 2.25%. You can do far better. But you've just been lazy. You just haven't bothered to do it. I understand it. I mean, look, we're all very busy. It's one of the reasons why I think many people continue to maintain their accounts at Bank of America, which pays a miserable, miserable rate on your money. I mean, I've got money at Bank of America. I've got my kids' accounts attached there. I love the app. I can pay bills. I can transfer money. I can do all of those things. But I get next to nothing for interest that I keep there. Now, if I moved it to some of the online banks, whether it's Capital One 360, Ally, a few of these others, or you go to some of the regional banks in town, I know Salem 5, Metro Credit Union, some of these others are offering some really competitive rates. And you might say, well, that's nice. Wow, that would be great. But man, I got to reset up all my automatic bill pay. I got to transfer everything over. I got to go sit at the bank and make an appointment and deal with all the people. And I don't know the account numbers, and I got to get social security numbers. And forget it. Well, that's our own laziness. That is our own laziness. And folks, I'm with you. I know we're all very busy, but there are ways in which you can start to take baby steps. Maybe you start to look at the money that you have in the bank, money that you know you're not going to touch. Like I said, there's many people that come to me. We saw people that have over $1 million in assorted bank accounts. I'm like, really? Earning next to nothing? You don't need all that money there at the bank, but you could take, let's say you had $100,000 or $50,000, I don't care, in the bank, but you know that you need about 20 to 30 of it to keep as a nice little emergency fund, but also try to get you through your cash flow on a month-to-month basis. Maybe you just lift $20,000 out or some other money out and move it over to Capital One 360 or one of these other online banks. Folks, I did that, and I will tell you, I did it on my phone, and it took less than 3 minutes to do so. So all it takes is a little bit of effort. If you don't know how to do it, if you're threatened by moving money or having access to money on your phone, I honestly think that's probably the safest place right now, the safest type of online system available right now. I think, you know, you start to share your information with some of these vendors to buy a phone case through some random Chinese company. Yeah, your data, your financials, all that stuff is much more at risk than doing transactions over the internet with a reputable, secured bank. I mean, folks, I mean, how many of you actually still hold your stock certificates? You don't. Your stocks are held within your brokerage accounts. Mutual funds don't issue stock certificates. They're held within a brokerage account, and all that information is easily accessible through some type of electronic medium, whether it's your phone, your tablet, whatever it is. There's lots of ways to access it. It's time for us to step into the present. It's no longer the future, folks. Step into the present and get with the program. Got to take baby steps sometimes, I get it. But we're here to provide you some financial advice in a language you can understand. We've got to take a quick break. When we get back, I got lots more information to share with you. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2019 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We're talking money, anything and everything about money. And if you have a question for me, scream it from the rooftops and I'll try to hear it. Right here from the Treetop Studios here at North Shore 104.9. If I don't hear what you're saying, if I can't hear you screaming, you can get to me a few different ways. You can certainly call the office, 978-531-8108. No, we don't take calls here on the radio show on Sundays, but you can leave a message on my machine at the office today. I will try to address your questions. I might even use them on the radio. But certainly, if you do leave a message for me at the office, I promise I will call you back. I call back everybody. Anybody knows this. For 8 years now that we've been doing this radio show, you leave a message at our office, you send me an email, you post something on our newsletter, sign up in that little comment section, you know that I'm going to write back to you. People go, oh, wow, I didn't expect you to write back. I thought I might get some computer-generated response, or you'd have somebody else in your office respond to me. No, that's not what we do. I'm actually here. I'm sorry, I'm not maybe as big of a celebrity as a radio station might make me sound to be, but I'm just another guy living here on the North Shore with the rest of you. North Shore, Merrimack Valley. Look, I grew up here. I grew up in Peabody. I went to West Memorial Elementary School. That's where I went. Then I went off to the JFK, the John F. Kennedy Junior High School, which no longer exists, of course. It's now an office park. There's I know a Catholic school that's there. There's a few other things that are over there as well, but I was the last class, 1979, out of the John F. Kennedy Junior High School. And then we moved over to the high school, Peabody High School, up on the hill. Graduated 1984. 1984 is when I graduated. And then went off to UMass for a couple of years. Transferred to Babson College and graduated out of Babson in 1989. You might say, well, Mark, 89 to 84, that's 5 years. What were you on the five-year plan, Mark? No, I actually did okay in school, but I took a year off between my freshman and sophomore year. Traveled with a music group called Up With People. Maybe you've heard of them. They've done more. Here's a trivia question. Who's done more halftime shows at the Super Bowl than any other music organization? That answer is Up With People. That's right. And if you remember, the last Up With People performance was the Patriots playing the Bears, Super Bowl 20. And if you want to search for that, go ahead, go to YouTube, go Super Bowl XX, that Super Bowl 20 halftime show. And if you watch the halftime show, you will see a guy on the 50-yard line playing the keyboards in a bright yellow sweatshirt. That's me. We did a lot of other things, got to travel all around the world singing, entertaining, doing a lot of community service work, and really breaking down barriers of communication between people of all nations. That's what Up With People was all about. Still an important cause today. Anyways, after graduating college, I ended up going to work at, remember this, the Ship Restaurant. Yeah, I'm a local guy, folks. I've been around here for a long time. I worked at the Ship Restaurant. I was a waiter there for a while when I was in college. When I graduated, I was the restaurant manager there for about a year and a half or so. When the restaurant started to slow down at night, I would go into the bar. I'd sit at the piano. I'd play piano, entertain a few folks that were there. And then I moved on selling Chinese food takeout containers. That's right. That is the dream job of any college kid, to go door to door selling Chinese food takeout containers out of the back door of your local Su Chang's or any of the other places. And I did them all. We were there, and it's a great little business. You learned a lot, but the margins aren't great when you do Chinese food takeout containers. So then what happened to me? Well, I started doing karaoke. I know you really want to hear this life story, don't you? This is really what you're counting on today. So I'm just trying to prove to you how local I am that I've been here. I sang songs I did karaoke down at Seaside in Faneuil Hall. Remember, there used to be Seaside and City Hall, Seaside and Cityside down there. The guys from North Shore Acapella would play on Wednesday nights at Cityside and on Sundays. And I would do Sundays and Tuesdays at Seaside hosting karaoke shows. My wife, now wife, Laura, came walking into Seaside on a Tuesday night when it was quiet, asked to sing a duet with me. She said, can we do Summer Nights? I didn't know who this woman was from A Hole in the Wall. I said, sure, it's pretty empty here. Happy to do a duet with you. We did the duet, took a break, sat down at the bar. We're just chatting for a little bit. She says, hey, what's your last name? I go, my last name is Friedman. She says, geez, my last name is Weinstein. You want to get married? Yep, that's what happened. Her father told us that she would never meet a Jewish guy in a bar, and lo and behold, she did. And 4 months later, we were engaged. 14 months later, we were married, and Laura and I will be celebrating our 28th wedding anniversary this September. Yeah, pretty good. Five kids later. It's a nice story. So, but the real reason I tell you the story is that Laura and I had gone out for lunch while we were engaged, and she said, Mark, are you sure you want to be selling Chinese food takeout containers for the rest of your life? And I said, I don't know. She says, why don't you go see what your father does for a living? And lo and behold, Dad, who started Friedman Financial in 1968, was still running the business, though I didn't know the difference between a compact disc and a certificate of deposit. They were both CDs to me. I had lunch with Dad at the Sylvan Street Grill, and folks, the rest is history. In 2007, Dad retired from the business. I took over as owner, 100% owner of the business, and to this day, I am owner of Friedman Financial, along with my business partner, Marion Gilman, who joined us in 2000, and you've heard us on both on the radio here. Marion and I have been on the show, and we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the Southern New Hampshire area, since 1968. Dad started it. We're continuing it, and the legacy goes on. Several generations of clients, and that's probably more of a story than you were expecting to hear from me. I was not planning on giving you my my full resume and bio over the phone. It's just one of those things where I never know what's going to come out of my mouth on this Sunday morning radio show. Look, folks, it's early. You know, it's who wants to be up at 8 o'clock? Do you realize I have to wake up at 3:30 in the morning to prepare for this show? No, I'm kidding. I really don't. I just come here. Anyways, how's the market been doing? The markets, geez. You know, it's kind of getting boring, isn't it? It's Marion and I sit around in the office. It's like, geez. I mean, I know your statements for May weren't all that exciting, but if you actually look at your account values on your phone, on your device, you'll see that the fact that May was down, it's like, big deal. You've already made it back. But you can't keep looking at this thing from a short-term basis, folks. I mean, look, the last quarter of 2018 was rather miserable. First quarter of 2019, boom, came right back. We've been up, we've been down, we've been backwards and forwards. But at the end of the day, it's really not moved that much. And as long as you continue to invest, you're doing just fine. So here's something that happened. Someone says to me, Mark, we just sold my mother's house and we have this money. She doesn't need it. In reality, she'll never use the money. It's ultimately going to be for my brother and I to inherit in the future. Mom is 94 years old. She's in a nursing home right now. All of her costs are arranged through the other assets that she has and the long-term care insurance she might have. So we don't need this money, but we got to put the money to work. So they said, well, how should we go about investing the money? Well, the goal really, even with the mother's support, is to invest the money for the benefit of the children. Let them allow that money to grow, and they don't plan to touch the money for a while either. So the kids ask me, they say, you know, Mark, the market's up, the market's down. We don't know what's going on with these tariffs. I don't know if I can trust the president. I don't know what's going to happen with elections. The weather's off. The climate change is driving me crazy. I don't know if snow's really going to end here in New England. All these crazy possibilities, right? And so they say, well, how should we approach this money? Should we like put in a little bit every month for like the next 2 years, or should we put it all in? What's the best way to approach this? And a lot of people ask this question. If you're investing money, what's the best way to do it? Well, realistically, the number one question you have to ask yourself is, number one, when do you plan on taking money out of this account? And if the intent is to take the money out in 5 years or more from now, the only reason that you would dollar cost average or buy in increments over a series of months is because you don't want to feel like you made a short-term mistake. Because if you bought today or Monday or a week from now or a month before, 5 years from now, are you going to remember that you dollar cost that you bought at that date, or even dollar cost averaged in? Probably not. But if the market drops 15% tomorrow, you're going to say, well, at least only I put in some of my money in on Monday, and I have another bit of money left to invest next. But the question becomes, if you only put in a segment of your money now and the market drops 15 or 20%, and it could, will you have the discipline to buy again? Or will you be spooked saying, oh, what if it drops another 10%? Folks, here's the deal. If you're investing for the long term and you have no intentions of touching the money for a long period of time, dollar cost averaging is something that just gives you some internal peace of mind to say, you know what, at least I took a responsible, prudent approach. I did it over time. I wasn't guessing. I just put it on over time. And I'm okay with that. I really am. And I totally get that rationale. But the reality is if you threw all of the money in tomorrow and you weren't planning on touching it for 5 or 10 years, it's probably not going to make much of a difference. So don't beat yourself up over, do I need to spread this out over a 6-month period of time, a 12-month period of time, or throw in it all at once? What's more important is not the security selection or not the timing of your investment. What is most important is understanding how much do I actually want to have in the stock market? How much do I want to have in the bond market, or what are called fixed income securities, securities that pay an interest rate on an ongoing basis, but don't have much potential for up or downside movement. There's a little bit, but not like a stock market where the value of the stock is based upon people's perception of what the value might be amongst a variety of other factors. So you got to figure out what's right for you. And that oftentimes is driven by the community where you live, your friends, your family, the news that you watch, the newspapers you read, the news feeds you get on your phone or your device. And that sometimes isn't the best solution for creating an asset allocation strategy that's appropriate for you. Because when you're trying to figure out the asset allocation strategy for your money, you have to factor in everything else. Because think about this. If you had a bunch of money, let's say you had $100,000 and 50 of it is sitting in the bank, and you say, all right, now I have $50,000 to invest. And you say, well, I want to take that $50,000 and I want to put it in half in the market, half in the stock market, half in the bond market. How much money do you really have in the stock market of the 50 of the money that you have? Well, in reality, only 25% of your money is in the stock market, even though you say, well, my portfolio is 50-50, because you still had $50,000 in the bank. Folks, you got to do the math right. You got to look at it from a much bigger picture. If you look at your investment accounts as isolated in individual investment accounts, you're not truly looking at the overall asset allocation from what you have. You need to incorporate everything. Factor in the value of your house, and now all of a sudden you've got a real estate asset in there too. So really, how much money would be allocated to the stock market? You have to look at that. And if you don't have the tools or the mechanisms to try to view that, to try to figure out what are we trying to accomplish here, you have to do that. We can help you. We can help you because at Friedman Financial, all 450 households that we serve have what's called a net worth statement. First thing we do is we try to understand and give you a snapshot of where you stand financially. We know where your money is in the bank. We know what you have for investment assets. We know what you have for debts, whether it's mortgage, a home equity loan, credit cards, student loans, whatever it is. Maybe you own a car. Maybe you have jewelry. Maybe you have a boat. Maybe you have a second house. Maybe you have an insurance policy, an annuity, a 401k, an IRA, all of those things. Wouldn't it be nice to know what your asset allocation looks like from the perspective of your net worth statement rather than just your 401k account? Because now you're starting to plan for your future. Because in reality, every aspect of your financial life is going to have to come into play when the time comes to say, oh, we need to start replacing the paycheck. All of a sudden, you're not getting a paycheck from the work anymore. You're now having to rely on everything that you have to say, where is the smartest place to take money? So here's an example. We had a situation a week or two ago. Client comes in and is trying to figure out, the mother actually came in with her two daughters. And the mother wants to figure out a way to provide money to support 529 plans for their children. 529 plans, remember, these education type funding accounts for children where you put the money into an investment account for the benefit of a beneficiary, usually your children or grandchildren. The money comes out tax-free if you use it for college or private high school. It's now private high school. It wasn't before. Now that's been added in. And they're trying to figure out, where do I take this? Where do I take money from my investments? And they were saying, well, mom has this enormous IRA. Mom has an IRA that's over $1 million. Mom has an IRA over $1 million. And she has about $100,000 in the bank. And now mom is living in another facility. She's in an assisted living facility. And she also owns the house in Georgetown. And so the kids, so they said, well, what should we do? Why shouldn't we take money out of the IRA? And I explained, well, if you take money out of the IRA, it will be fully taxable to you. Mom would have to pay taxes on taking money out. So if mom took $50,000 out, she'd have $50,000 added to her income. She'd have to pay tax on that, and she might only net $35,000 or $40,000 that she could use for 529 plans for the kids. However, they were planning on selling the house, mom's primary residence for the past 20 years. And if they sold the house, they were going to net around $400,000. And I said, with that money, why don't you take some of that money and use it for your 529 plan? Because that money is free. No tax to pay on that money. You get to give that money to the 529 plan without any worries. So you've got to try to figure out where the smartest place is to take money from, not necessarily from where the biggest asset is. So that's what we got to spend down first. We have to do it smart. We want to help you make smart financial decisions with your money. Because you know what? Taxes are a real thing. And it's a patriotic thing, patriotic duty, to pay your taxes and pay them properly. But you never want to pay more taxes than you need to pay. Ultimately, the taxes will get paid. But if you can manage your financial life by minimizing the taxes that are due now and having to allow your other money to grow tax-deferred, tax-free, whatever it might be, doesn't that make more sense? Well, when we have a snapshot of your entire financial life, we can give you that kind of guidance. That, my friends, is financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what we provide here on the radio each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. on this very show called Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We'll be right back with more information for you.
North Shore Music Theater is proud to present
Sweeping down the plain.
With its legendary score and exhilarating choreography, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma tells the story of young love in a land where possibilities are as big as a dreamer can dream them. Introduce yourself to one of America's most beloved musicals, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
On stage at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater from June 4th through June 16th.
Everything's going my way.
Get your tickets today at nsmt.org. Sponsored by Beverly Bank.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I just heard this ad for the North Shore Music Theater. They've got Oklahoma in town. Did you know that Oklahoma won a Tony Award this past week for Best Musical Revival on Broadway? In fact, Karen Nesembeni, who's general manager over at the North Shore Music Theater, she was there in the audience at the Tonys. She was posting pictures from it. What a thrill it must have been for Karen to be able to be there with Nate Bertone. She was Nate Bertone's guest. Nate is just this amazing, amazing scenic designer. They do some amazing stuff here at the Music Theater as well. I'm looking forward to seeing the shows for the lineup this year. We are the sponsor of their Broadway Club, have been so for a lot of years. I don't know. If you haven't been, by the way, if you haven't been to the Broadway Club at the North Shore Music Theater, it's twice the size now. They blew out a wall, opened it all up. The bar's really nice. The lines to the bathroom are still really, really short. And it's clean over there. You're going to like it. Snacks are, I love the snacks they put out there. It's a great place to just kind of hang out before the show. Great place to hang out during intermission. No lines at the bathroom. And after the show, it's still open too. No lines at the bathroom, because you know how long those lines can be for the music theater. So is it worth paying a little bit of extra money to get that VIP experience with includes parking for you, includes access to the Broadway Club? I think so. There's nothing in it for me. I pay to be a sponsor of the Broadway Club. I don't get any financial kickback or anything like that. But hey, it's a nice perk that the music theater offers, and something that I would strongly encourage you to consider. Anyways, something also to consider is making sure that you're putting together a portfolio that's invested for the future. Folks, so far, year to date through June 10th, I'm sorry, through June 7th, so a week ago, through June 7th, the S&P 500 is up 15.7% year to date, despite suffering a 6.6% tumble between April 30th and June 3rd. The market is still up 15.7%. Now, let's just be clear. The S&P 500 consists of 500 stocks chosen from market size, liquidity, and industry group representation. It's a market value weighted index, with each stock's weight in the index proportionate to its market value. That's what the S&P 500 is. But here's something that I find even further interesting. It's been reported that over the past 25 years, ending December 31st, 2018, the average performance of the S&P 500 is 9.1% per year. 9.1% over the past 25 years. Now, let's just kind of take a jump back in history to talk about all the things that have happened over the past 25 years. 25 years takes us back to, I'm not even doing the math right. I'm looking at Jay, hoping for some help here. So 1995, 1994, something like that. Since that period of time, I think some planes went through the Twin Towers. We've had 9/11, right? We've been involved in wars. We've had a crisis where we thought the banking system was going to fail. There was going to be no money. We had the highest unemployment we've ever had. We've had changes over of presidents. We've had some of the most popular companies, most visible companies in America, go into bankruptcy, close, shut down. And yet, through all of that, the market still eked out, come on, averaged a 9.1% annualized rate of return. And you know who got that 9.1% rate of return? Chances are it wasn't you. Do you know why? Because you were chicken. Most individual investors are. Did you know that the average rate of return for the individual investor over the past 25 years, you know what that number is? 2.1. Yet the stock market was up 9.1. The average investor did 2.1. Do you know why? Because we all think we're smarter than everybody else. We know when to get in. We want to race to the next hottest IPO that's out there. We know, oh, this time it's different. We got to get out. Oh, when do we get back in? And we get out and we get back in. And then we take money out of our accounts. And then we say, well, I'm not going to add all my money 25 years ago. I'm going to do it in increments. So the only people that actually get that 9.1 average rate of return is actually that computer-based index. Unless you were Rip Van Winkle and you put all of your money in 25 years ago into the S&P 500 and just forgot about it. Chances are that didn't happen. Yet why is it? Why is it that so many people say, well, the market average is 9.something%. Why can't you get that for me? And you know why we can't get that for you? Because we're impressionable. The media moves us to make decisions. We move to make decisions. The circle of friends, family, and peers around us influence our decisions, and we want change. No one likes to own the same stuff. Look, even if you've been in your house for the past 25 years, what's the likelihood that you haven't changed the furniture, thought to change the kitchen, wanted to paint the house, fix up the driveway, replace the sheets in the bath and in the bedroom? We like change. We like to improve things. Does anybody want to stick around with the same old portfolio year after year after year? No, we just don't. It's not in our nature. And here's what's rather even more interesting. You know what I told you about 9.1% being the average rate of return of the S&P 500 since 2018? And by the way, I should read this disclaimer with that statement. These examples are for illustrative purposes only and not intended to predict returns of any investment choices. Rates of return will vary over time, particularly for long-term investments. There is no guarantee the selected rate of return can be achieved in the future. I just got to throw in that little disclaimer. So back to that 9.1% rate of return that the S&P 500 has done over the past 25 years. What's really interesting is go back to the beginning when we started to measure things like S&P 500 indexes. Go back to 1929. Go back to 1929, almost 90 years of performance history, 89 years of performance history. I want you to take a look at what the return was each year from 1929 all the way up to 2018. What was the return at the end of each year? You know that off the top of your head, don't you? Of course you don't. You don't know that, but guess what? I do. I've done the research, and we actually have a really nice graphic that showcases it all. How many times, get this, how many times in the past 89 years do you think the S&P 500 actually gave you a rate of return for that calendar year between 5 and 10%? Not 9.1, which is the average, but between 5 and 10%. How many times in the past 89 years? You know what the answer is? Seven. Seven times. Seven out of 89. That's like 7 or 8% of the time. You know what that means? In order to get that 9.1%, you needed to have performance that was either greater than 5 to 10% or less than 5 to 10% more than 93% of the time to get an average of 9.1%. So that means there were years when you were up 25 or 30%, other years when you might have been down 20% or 25%. Could have you had the wherewithal for a year to stick with it and keep adding money or leave it alone and just say, oh, we're just going to roll with it, honey. We have nothing to worry about. No, we are emotional creatures. But what my job is to do, what our job at Friedman Financial is, what my job as the host of Dollars and Cents each and every Sunday is to be the rational voice during emotional times. And you know what's really interesting? Right now, we are not in emotional times. Maybe people think we're in some political chaos type situation. We're worried about tariffs. None of that stuff is moving the needle of the market anywhere. It moves day to day, a little bit of fluctuation, a little bit of quiver there, but nothing for you to be concerned about. In fact, we're in some of the greatest times ever. We have the lowest unemployment rate. If you want to find a job, there's jobs out there because as I shared in a statistic a couple weeks ago, there are actually more jobs available than there are people looking for jobs. Now, on the other side, though, here's something that's rather interesting that came out of a source called the Strata Institute for the Future of Work. It says an estimated 40% of this year's college graduates will be underemployed with their first job. What that means is they will take a job for which they are academically overqualified for. Think about that. Think about how the headline could spin on that. I'm thinking academically overqualified. Since when do you take a job from where you'd be academically underqualified or academically qualified? You know what you have to have? Practical experience qualified. Where are you getting practical experience? My little beef here lately has been, I want you to think about the amount of money that parents spend and the pressure kids are under to build their resume, to position themselves appropriately to get into the right college. All the years, the agony, the extra credits they have to do, the AP exams they take, so that they can get into the right college. They can get into the college that maybe gives mom and dad the biggest ego boost so they can say, my kid got in. Because 9 out of 10 times, your student doesn't even know what they want to do. But we got to get them in. We're working really, 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 really hard. And then graduation comes in there saying, oh, my kid's going to graduate from so-and-so. Oh, what are they going to do? Oh, well, they haven't found a job just yet. They're still working on it. They're out exploring opportunities. Imagine, if we took 1/4 of the time that we spent trying to get our kids into school, into trying to help them identify practical skills so that they could have a working job outside of college. Wouldn't that be a good source, good use of your money, your dollars, your energy? No, instead, what we try to do, what I see, oh my God, do I see this a lot. I see it on, if you're a member of Facebook, Every town seems to have their mom's page or a dad's page. Like, we have North Andover Moms where I live. Yeah, I'm on that even though I'm a dad, but they let me in. It drives me insane how many moms are out there, or dads too, trying to find jobs from their for their college graduating children. Really? If you were to call my office and say, hey, Mark, Johnny's graduating from Bentley this year, and he's really looking for a job opportunity. Could you help me out with something, or could you offer something up for him? Could you reach out to him and let him know that you got something available? Like, are you kidding me? We need to teach our kids how to assimilate in the real world. I've told the story about how my daughter sends out through Indeed. She posted all these things up for hostessing jobs. And she said, Dad, you know, I got these notes back through Indeed saying, hey, thanks for your resume. Thanks for your application. We'll be in touch with you if something comes up. And she says, and Dad, I haven't heard from them. I said, I wouldn't expect you to hear from them. You need to go knock on the door and say, hi, wanted to let you know that I'm interested in a hostess position. I noticed that you had some posted on Indeed. I've already submitted my resume. Perhaps you've had a chance to look at it. Perhaps you haven't. But I just wanted to introduce myself in person to say that I'm really interested in this job. What's the chance of her finding something rather than someone just sitting at home being miserable, going through Instagram and Snapchat and showing some of those fishy faces that they do to say, oh, I'll wait till someone reaches out to me? Really? Really? It's up to us. It's up to us to inspire our kids to become a little bit more involved in their own lives, to get out there, to be ambitious, to be self-assertive, to get in front of people, and to take some chances. Take some chances. Last week, actually, I talked about a new book that I've been reading. Actually, I've read it now. It's all done. It was called... The Rejection Something. It was, the guy's name is Jia Jing, Jia Jing. He talked about the 100 days of rejection was his thing that he did. He took 100 consecutive days and videotaped himself doing things where he thought he would get rejected so he could learn that being rejected by people doesn't necessarily mean it's a personal attack on you. In fact, many times when he thought he was going to be rejected, he was surprised that people actually said yes. We have to empower our children to take some risks. We got to let them walk on the edge of the curbstone on the sidewalk. We've got to let them ride their bikes around the neighborhood. We've got to let them go out at night and not be feared that they're on a leash somewhere. We've got to give our kids some freedoms. But this book, it was called, it's Rejection Something. Rejection Therapy. Thank you, Jay. It's called Rejection Therapy. It's a great book. It's, 200 and something pages. Easy to read. I'd encourage you to get it. Give it as a gift to your kids. Maybe that will inspire them to take that step forward and really take some initiatives and find a job. Because think about all the hours, all the time, all the energy, all the money that you spent working hard so that they could do their best to get into a college. And they got in. Congratulations. And they did really well in school. And they came out academically overqualified because now they can't find a job. No, they're academically overqualified because they have a diploma, but they're deeply underqualified if they can't assert themselves, if they can't communicate effectively with their mouth, with their eyes, and with their body language, and not just with their thumbs on a device. Folks, it's scary. We've got to do something about this. We've got to empower our kids to get out there. All right, a couple other things of interest that comes from By the Numbers. Did you know that 40% of U.S. homeowners own their house free and clear of any mortgage debt and or home equity loan? So think about that. 40% of all U.S. homeowners own their house free and clear without any type of mortgage and or home equity loan. But 60% do carry a balance. And the average debt that's outstanding for all 60% of U.S. homeowners, average median debt is $126,000. Now, I tell you this number, median, because I think this is important, because we're going to talk about this in the next segment. There's a difference between median and mean. Median is the middle. So if you lined up a whole bunch of numbers, whole bunch of scattered numbers from 1 to 100, maybe there's 1, 16, 31, 47, 54, 72, you just line them up, line up those numbers, you'd have to circle the one that's in the middle, not the average, but the one that's in the middle. Is that the way to measure wealth? Everybody always wants to know how you're doing compared to everybody else. Well, a recent story that came out from MarketWatch shares some thoughts on what it means to have a certain net worth and how you fit into the picture. When we get back, I want to share this story with you. It talks about you trying to understand what the average net worth is in America. Should we measure it by the average, meaning the average that we all learned about in school, or should we be using this number, the median, the middle? It's really interesting. We got lots to share. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9, and we'll be right back.
Just got paid. Friday night.
Party hopping,
feeling
alright.
Booty shaking.
Booty shaking.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
There are moments in life when it's critical to have the best care possible. When you're living with an advanced illness like cancer, COPD, heart disease, or dementia, you want hospice care that helps make the most of the time that remains. That's Care Dimensions, Massachusetts' premier nonprofit hospice provider. Our hospice palliative care and bereavement programs are known nationally for quality and innovation. Let our experience improve yours. Ask for Care Dimensions by name or visit caredimensions.org.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, the granddads, the grandpapas, the great-grandpas, the papas, the pepes, whatever you call your grandest father or your father. We're celebrating that today. Hope you're all going to enjoy your day. I'll tell you, I actually celebrated my Father's Day yesterday. I knew I was going to be here this morning, but we also had a few other things going on today. Some of the kids had to work. So we did a little family outing yesterday. I hopped in the car, and I know I talk a lot about the North Shore Music Theater, but did you know Bill Haney also owns a couple other theaters? One of them is called Theater by the Sea, that's down in Wakefield, Rhode Island. And so Bill has been involved. I think he was an investor, actually, in this show. It's a brand new show called Love and Other Fables. He's been talking about this. In fact, he's been on with Aurelia talking about the show and all sorts of things. And so the show's been running down at Theater by the Sea, which I had heard is this beautiful theater, and they are right. Man, is it a beautiful theater. The grounds are absolutely magnificent. It took take us about an hour and a half to 2 hours to get down there. We went down as a road trip as a family, and we caught the 3 o'clock afternoon show on Saturday down at Theater by the Sea. Man, what a spot. The show is absolutely hilarious. Congratulations to Bill Haney and all of those that have been involved in the production and the development of this show. I hope it really does well. Bill has strong hopes that it actually lands on Broadway somewhere. We'll see what happens, but it was a lot of fun. If you're looking for a day trip, something to do to get down to the theater, you can go down to Rhode Island, go down to the Theater by the Sea down in Wakefield. There's a restaurant right there as well, but there's plenty of other places. I mean, there's beaches, there's outdoor restaurants. It's really a lovely day trip, and I'd encourage you to do that. But anyways, happy Father's Day to all of you. I hope each and every dad has a wonderful day, whether you're by yourself, with your children, whatever it is, just do what you want to do. Anyways, when we last left, I talked to you about this net worth concept. One of the things that I think gets oftentimes confused is just because someone has a net worth of something or just because they have a large income doesn't necessarily qualify them as rich. What does rich mean? What really does rich mean? To me, rich is very simple. Rich means that you're able, from a financial standpoint, I mean, we can be rich in values, rich in family, rich in love, rich in all sorts of things. But when it comes down to the intrinsic part of money, what makes us rich? Being rich is being able to comfortably cover all of your expenses, knowing that you don't have to worry about where the next dollar is going to come from. Now, your lifestyle might be, I like to have grilled cheese every night for dinner. Others might say, well, my lifestyle for eating says I need to go to Palana or to Alto Forno or to the Bancroft every night for dinner. Maybe you like to drive your cars for 25 years, where other people might like to drive their car for 3. Maybe you like to have a big house. Maybe you like to have Ethan Allen furniture rather than furniture that you pick up at your local five and dime store. Whatever it is, it's your lifestyle. And if you feel like, you know what, I'm able to live a lifestyle where I don't have to worry about the income coming into my house, I can do everything that I want to do for my lifestyle, you, my friends, are rich. But according to this study that came out of it was reported in Market Watch and was reported out of Nerd Wallet, says, get this, the average, you want to know whether you're considered wealthy or not? Did you know that the average net worth of U.S. households, is $692,100, according to the most recent data from the Federal Reserve's Survey of Consumer Finances. Average net worth of a household, $693,000, and I yelled BS. Because when you look at the average, which is everybody's household income, add it up and then divide it by the number of people in that household, you're including a bunch of people who severely skew that number. Certainly on the upside. You look at Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and, you know, those are just a few of the names that you know, but there's tons and tons of billionaires that skew an average when there's other people who have a net worth of $4. So there's a difference between the median and the mean. The mean is what we talked about. The mean is that actual average of $692,000. But get this, if you lined up the median net worth of households, that means everybody, median is the middle point where half the households have more than half have less. The actual average median household income, $97,300. That's a big difference from $692,000. So what I thought I would do is share with you, because everybody always wants to know, how am I doing? How am I doing from, you know, and remember, we're talking about all sorts of age ranges as well. And so what I thought I would do is share some age range, median and mean net worths. And this is coming from the Federal Reserve. If you are between the ages of 35 to 44, the average net worth for you, average mean net worth, is $288,700. So if you're between the ages of 35 to 44, the average mean, that means add up everybody between those ages, if you have an average net worth of $288,000 or more, you're considered wealthier than the average. Now remember, net worth includes everything. Everything, folks. That's your house. That's your 401k plan. Money in the bank. Everything. But hold on. That's the mean. Remember we talked about that's the mean, the average? What if you lined up everybody who's aged 35 to 44 and you put half of the people's income to the right and half of people's income to the left? You would be considered among the wealthier of the 50, you're in the 51st or highest percentile if your net worth at age 35 to 44 was $59,800. Does that surprise you? I bet it does. I bet it does, because you know why? Welcome to New England, where we live in a bubble. That's right, folks. There's other parts of this country who have a much more difficult time creating wealth. And that happens between the Appalachians and the Rocky Mountains. And there's millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people who all have the ability to walk into a voting booth just like you do. And they see the world a little bit differently. Does that mean that they're smarter, dumber, more deplorable, whatever it is, than you are? It's just different. It's a different lifestyle. A different lifestyle. Funny, I was following a friend of mine on Facebook who lives, he actually lives in Kentucky. And he was talking about how he was going on a vacation for 2.5 weeks with his wife and 11-year-old son. They were taking 2.5 weeks off to see the country. Great. And apparently he decided to hoist a camper to the back of his car. And he was going to do a video blog of his entire trip. And little did I know, he spent last week 2 nights in the Harold Parker State Forest. I didn't actually know you could go camping in the Harold Parker State Forest with hookups and all that kind of stuff, but apparently you can. And in fact, when he took his picture, there were a lot of campers there, right in North Andover, Massachusetts. He was 6 minutes away from my house. I didn't know that because I saw the video blog later. And this was an amazing vacation for him. And he loved it. I mean, his kid was just talking. His wife, they were excited. They were cooking French toast and bacon on a makeshift table in the woods in North Andover, Massachusetts. They came to North Andover, Massachusetts to take advantage of our state park for vacationing, where we may have done something different. So, folks, the way everybody vacations is different from the way you vacation. The ways you spend money, the way you use money is different. I'm telling this story because we're trying to talk about understanding what the mean net worth is for different age groups and the median net worth. The mean is the actual, you add up everybody in that age category, what's the average number? The median is line up everybody and draw a line right through the middle. So 51% or higher, 51% or lower. Let's talk about the 45 to 54-year-old. If you're between the ages of 45 to 54 and you have a household average net worth, the mean, the average, add up everybody and just divide by that number, $727,000. This is all being reported from the Federal Reserve's, let me just give you the actual name of it so you know what study it's coming from. Where is my number? Here it comes from the Federal Reserve Survey of Consumer Finances. $727,500 is the mean net worth of people between the ages of 45 and 54. The median, line them all up and just draw a line straight down the middle so that 50% are on the higher, 50% on the lower. Add them all up. That number is drastically lower at $124,000. How about 55 to 64? The mean, the average, $1,167,000. The median, $187,000. If you're between the ages of 55 to 64, ask yourself, total net worth, remember, add up everything. Bank accounts, 401k, taxable accounts that you have, brokerage accounts, cash value of your life insurance policy, the value of your car, the value of your house, everything. Of course, subtract out those liabilities that you owe. If you're between 55 and 64, if you have a net worth of $187,300 and greater, you are wealthier than 50% of the population. How about 65 to 74? The mean, that's everybody. So remember, Warren Buffett's in here, Bill Gates is in here, all in there. We're adding everybody up, divide them by the number of people that fall into that age bracket. Averages $1 million. The median, though, $224,000. If you have more than that, folks, welcome to America. You are among the wealthiest in all of this country has to offer. And that is financial advice in a language you can understand. I hear the music playing in my ears. We've got to get out of here. I got to get home for Father's Day. I'm just going to hang out by the pool. I hope you guys all have a great, great day. And we'll be back next Sunday with more Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of
principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.